Okay, we are on page 114 of, let me just pop it up here on screen, Sketches from the Life of Paul. I always forget the title of this book for some goofy reason. So page 114, last paragraph. It says, it starts with the words, "The careless and unbelieving close their eyes." Okay. Oh, wow. We're seeing that happening. And so, yeah, "The careless and unbelieving close their eyes to the evidence which Christ has given to warn men of his coming." Wow. I mean, what does that remind us of? Smooth things, you know, one prophecy in the scriptures. I mean, a lot of people out there are, you know, very, very adamant about, "I don't want to hear it" kind of mindset, which is understandable because it's scary. It's a little scary. And there's some people that want to see everything happen. Like one of my sisters when I was growing up, but she changed her mind after April 21st, 1967, because she always used to say and brag about, "Yeah, I want to be there right in the thick of it if a tornado comes," because we always had all these warnings and stuff like that. And then when the twister did come, she did not want to see that anymore. But that's scary stuff. Even though it never really hit our house, it took my fort, you know, it just kind of like vacuumed it out of the backyard. It shook a little bit and went straight up. I happened to be looking at it when that happened. And then lost a few shingles. That's about it, because it was about, I don't know, it looked to be, I'd say, quarter mile from us, you know. And it was an F5. It looked like a hurricane. It didn't have a cone shape. It was just a wall coming at you. All right, so let me shoot. I got the fan on here. And let's see. That's not too. That should be good. Okay. All right. So the careless and the unbelieving close their eyes to the evidence which Christ has given to warn men of his coming. They seek to quiet all apprehension, while at the same time the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling and the world is hastening to the period of the revelation of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. And, boy, I got to tell you, this picture I got on the chat room, the text chat room server of the flyover of the Orion Nebula, it kind of looks, I mean, I don't think it's a more recent picture. It looks like, you know, like a Hubble thing where they tilted it to make it look like a flyover. But there is a cloud coming out of the Orion Nebula, and you know we as a matter of fact, I talk about it here for anybody that wants information in regards to that. Let me go to, let's see, oh, let me get him out of the way there. Prophecy, and go down to Prophecy of Today. Go down to We Are Very Near the End. I have all these are different sections of, actually, this is the book People Get Ready updated. You know, there's no real changes. It's just additional things to confirm what I wrote about in this book decades earlier. Let's see, Prophecy of Today, People Get Ready. That's this. Well, you got to go down here to read it entire. But this is all the signs of the end. I think the first six prophecies have to do with before the end times started, which was October 22nd, 1844. If you do the math in regards to the what went down in 457 BC and you connect that with the 2300-year prophecy that Daniel was given by Gabriel, then you know these prophecies were to happen before prophecies number 1, 2, 3, and 6. Why isn't it letting me highlight? Okay, goofy. I guess when you stream this, it messes up your mouse abilities. So, but yeah, from 7 on down is stuff that we've seen in our own life. Everything from strikes to, all sorts of crazy things. Right? It's all in there. But all of these things are, I think, I have a sermon for each section. Didn't I? Where was that? Yeah. Oh, no, this is People Get Ready. That's right, that's People Get Ready. This one here, there's a sermon for each section. You click it, and it just talks. It covers those three prophecies, these three, and then this one happens. Like some of them are easy. There's four of them, five of them. But this section I never put in audio format because I was still doing the research on it, and then I added it later. Happens to do with the signs in the heaven, the Orion clouds, and check out the updates right here. Beetlejuice dimming, they're covering their fol-de-rol reasons as to why they say it's dimming, but Beetlejuice is part of the cluster that makes, I think it's the one of the shoulders of Orion, and they're saying it's, you know, dimming for some strange reason. But here, this one here, okay, no, that's still Betelgeuse. Okay, pics in a video, explosion on the Orion Nebula. Oh, yeah, this whole thing actually is about the cloud. I think this, yeah, cloud coming from Orion right there, okay? And we know Jesus Christ comes from, you know, on the cloud, right? That's why they yelled blasphemy. Even the Jews knew about that. Think about that. When he made that statement, that's when they started shouting blasphemy. The guy rips his clothing, which means now he's standing as Antichrist perfectly, because the high priest, yeah, you don't rip that clothing. That clothing represents Christ. But he rips it, and then, of course, now you got the real Christ standing there, and then the real Antichrist standing there. It's just like the Mount of Transfiguration. Everything was going down more or less the same way. And because Antichrist will be on the planet when the real Christ splits the eastern sky, and so that's coming very, very, very soon, a lot sooner than we thought. And thank you again, sister, for the phone call earlier. It just confirmed a lot of stuff Fran and I have been saying, and the phone calls I've been getting, and the emails, and the people's faith, and many bright lights going out. We've seen people that we thought were really strong in the Word, that all of a sudden they're preaching things that they're just not in the Word, and that's one of the end prophecies too. But I don't know if this one here. Oh yeah, this one here has. It might not come in. I think this is on an old server that I built. That, yeah. So, but this here is my background. I use this on. You know, remember the old chat room? There's the Orion Nebula. But the other one I got is. This is an older one. Yeah, that's before they added color. I think that was in the 1960s. They did that one. But what am I looking for? This was. Oh, and I did an actual video in regards to the explosion on the Orion Nebula. but it wasn't seen with the naked eye. You had to use a special camera, and this guy, come on, get out of there, will you? No thanks. All right, let me just get to the section of the video where he shows the explosion, okay, before and after kind of thing. There's normal, there's after, and then I think he zooms, yeah, he goes in on it, and then he uses, I think he does a half screen. Doesn't he do a half screen? I think that line's going to go half screen. Yep, okay. I can't remember if that was infrared or some other kind of lens that he used, but it showed an actual explosion. So, we're almost home, brothers and sisters, and so it's going to get intense. And yeah, thanks, Sister Amber, for reminding me of that. This is why there is a telescope, a Vatican telescope in Arizona named, the lens is named Lucifer, because they... Satan wants to see, because he doesn't know the day of the hour either, so he keeps zooming in on the Orion Nebula. He wants to see how close it is, because he doesn't have permission to leave. You know, he can't go out flying around and checking stuff out. He fell. So getting back, she goes on to say, but those, and this was after she said that, you know, see him on the clouds of heaven. All right, because some people just don't want to see it, because especially, like, could you imagine, like, some of the mindsets out there? Because Fran and I joked about this many, many years ago when we first came into the truth, and we were still Sunny Keepers, and I think we were playing lottery tickets. I actually made software for my dad to where it was a database thing where I says, you know, you just put in all the numbers of your past games and then tell the computer to pick up the ones that came up more often. And he would win quite a few times, but small, you know, a couple hundred here, a thousand there, stuff like that. And we used to joke about the fact, this is okay, let's say the eastern sky... You know, right before the eastern sky splits, you have you just find out you got a winning lottery ticket. I'd burn it, you know, but because that's how we are. Our mindsets were back then. We don't care. We want off this planet. But some people would say, oh, no, don't come back yet. Come on, my career just took off. You know, people don't want to hear the world's ending. They want it to happen to their children or their grandchildren. They says, no, let me have my stuff down here. So anyway, it goes on to say, but those who receive the light of truth as it shines upon their pathway are not in darkness that this great event should come upon them unawares. And let me get to that Bible verse here. It's probably going to cover up on the turbo there a little bit here. I want to show you something here. Okay, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. Yep, there it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me show you something here. Okay. I share this on my Secret Rapture page, and no, I do not preach Secret Rapture, or nor do I preach Trinity. I expose it. The people that say Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist or both actually teach Roman Catholic Trinity, and they don't even know it. Keep them in your prayers. I mean, if they would just go to the Vatican website, they would see, wow, that's what we preach, you know. So, but anyway, let me, I think it's on, I just want to show you this, see, false doctrine. Oh, no, that's, I'm in the wrong area. False prophecies. Oop. Secret Rapture. Go to it. Okay. Let's see. It's a prophetic twist, I think, is the area. The prophetic time chart. A prophetic. No, that's Daniel 9. That would be 9. Okay. I'd have to dig too deep. I'm just going to read this to you here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 3. I'm purposely going to leave verse 4 out for a second. And let me just put it in. Well, somebody's going to put it in the room, maybe, I think. All right, so, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We have the Vatican saying, let's see, where did I put this? I think it's on Strange Comments, my Strange Comments page. Oh, that's probably miscellaneous because that's really, really old. Old text. Oh, wow, I still got the old text menu. Let's see. Because it was my first attempt at just doing a daily thing, and I realized if I do this daily, this page is going to be 9,000 pages long for one page. So it's not in there. All right, but I've got an actual quote. Now, this is around the time that the people of God, us, even I think this was even before we started using the name SDR. As a matter of fact, it was. Going out there telling the people that the world is going to end soon, a lot sooner than you think. And I guess it got to some of the, because it goes global, just like it did with the Midnight Cry. The same thing's going to happen with the Loud Cry. I think it's going to be faster, though. Because they don't have internet back in the 1800s, and so I think we're looking at, you know, a couple, 3-4 weeks, the Loud Cry will be done, right? But then we'll still be going out there, I would assume, evangelizing to some extent, up until the time that they passed the decree to kill us, and then, okay, then we hit the road. And because whoever's unjust then is going to remain unjust, so there's no sense in preaching now. But yeah, we got, let's see. I don't think it's on this page, not that I'm thinking of. No, it is on this page. But anyway, let me just get back to where I was here, man. I keep putting too many things in that cabinet in my brain. But anyway, the Pope said the end is not yet nigh. He actually used the N-I-G-H, nigh. And then we all remember this video I did. Whereas it's on YouTube, so I'll have to go through here. Let's go to video. I can even go to John 14:20. Oh, by the way, I'm eventually going to be phasing YouTube out. I am getting more views on my blog, which is just a transcript of my videos. Twice as many, sometimes 4,000 to 5,000 views per week just on the videos on my blog, and YouTube. It's all I can do to get 1,000. So I'm eventually going to phase it out, and you're not going to believe what John 14:29 is going to be looking like. It's going to look just like YouTube. It's going to be amazing. And brothers and sisters that, you know, that have access to that server can upload their videos, and everything's going to be awesome. So, but yeah, the Lord's blessed us with that. And, okay, here I am there. So, we all remember this one here. Just put... Pope. The people in India, the leaders called him a pope, and he didn't say, oh, no, I'm not a pope. He says, oh, I'm just a servant of God. On camera. And that's, I got it in the video. But look at this. Remember, he said, Sunday laws are not in the pipeline. So he's saying the exact, well, I made a video saying, yes, they are. But there was another video that I did about him originally saying the Sunday laws are not in the pipeline. Because this one here didn't get anywhere near the hits the other one did. Maybe it's this one here. Because this one's got 61. I think this is the one that Ted said it. I don't know. Anyway, we all remember, those of you that seen the video, that Yeah, he literally said there are no Sunday laws in the pipeline. Yet, if you just went to this page on my website, go to warning section, go down to Sunday laws are coming. Oh, it's just nuts. I mean, look at all the videos I did on that alone. And then if you go down to the this section, it's like some of my old blog entries and stuff like that of some articles. It got so bad that I couldn't keep up with the articles, and every now and then I just wouldn't report because of the redundancy of it all. Because I'm not going to report about the exact same statement regarding an exact same goofy law that they're putting up regarding Sunday laws if I've already quoted on it, because it's just people are not going to want to read the blog. Hey, come on, you repeated that, you know? But there's sections here. Okay, that's not it, even though that is a lot of links. There are sections here. I haven't done it in a while. I got to get back on to doing this one because I got 50, maybe 100 links I got to throw in here just to put it in a dump pile. That's what I used to do. Every now and then I would just throw out a pile of articles. See, that wasn't even it. A pile of links. Hope you're not getting dizzy. You know, for me, there it is. Okay, that's one of them. That's a fairly small one where after 6 months, I'm checking out these, you know, doing my research, looking for just regular articles, and every now and then I come across an article that talks about Sunday laws. But if it's already something I touched on, I just stick it in my Sunday law article section in my, you know, I use my Outlook software, my email software, and stack it in there. I just email it to myself in case they delete the article. And so I'll always be able to put it on the server if I have to. But this here is just, I don't, you know, like, see, a couple of months worth right here. All these are separate articles. I mean, look at the URL bar on the bottom, just changing from me floating over it. And there's a lot of those in here. They're not that close together, though, because, like I say, there's a small one, very small one there. But, yeah, it's for him to say that there's no Sunday laws in the pipeline, he's just one of those guys. And so that's why I read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 3 this way. But at the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a womb with child, and they shall not escape. Right? And that's where all these preachers stop. They all stop. They don't go to the next verse, because if they go to the next verse, their congregation is going to be a little bit upset with them, because the congregation doesn't study their own Bibles. They study the pastor. Their pastor echoes. They're there for the preacher-tainment. They're just getting into churchianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. But what's the next verse? Verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And the church family would go nuts and say, "Pastor, how can we don't even know, he is coming as a thief, because he doesn't preach prophecy." And for those out there like that are out there preaching their prophecies and making their videos and using Hollywood to preach for them, and they put them in their videos with Hollywood movies and stuff, and it's just all lies on top of lies. Because, I mean, what Hollywood is what? Professional liars. And so if you're a liar, that's going to be the norm for you. So you're going to make videos using Hollywood videos. And so they go out there and they put all that stuff. Their people, that eastern sky is going to split. Jesus is going to come out of it. And they're not even going to be, they don't have any clue now how close it is. Sure, they may think they're close, but when they're told certain prophetic events are happening at separate times, like Doug Batchelor preaches about the 1 hour with the beast and all these other things, or even the secret rapture, boy, that's the last trick ever played on mankind. As a matter of fact, I go into detail about that, you know, being as such on the secret rapture page, because I fell into that crowd when I was a Sunday keeper thinking about the secret rapture. I even bought one of those VHS picture frames that had a VHS inside of it with a little hammer hanging down, and there was a VHS inside of it, and on the VHS it says, "Break this glass with the little hammer in case of rapture." You would have to tell your family members, okay, you don't believe, okay, but one day all of a sudden I'm just going to be gone. I'm going to be secretly vacuumed off the planet by Jesus. You'll be left behind. Take the little hammer, break it, and watch the video. And it would just give them a bunch of bogus prophecies in regards to what you've got to handle now for the next 7 years. It's not going to be 7 nanoseconds. They literally, the 7 years has to do with a twist of a chronological order regarding the prophecy of Daniel, the week of Daniel, Why? Well, first of all, the Jews didn't like that very much. That's why they call Daniel a false prophet to this day, because that week of Daniel shows how the Jews actually killed their own Messiah. And then the Catholics, the Jesuits, used it to try to hide what went down during what Jesus calls the Great Tribulation, and we know as the Inquisition, the 1,260 years, and say, oh no, it's a preterist view of Antichrist. Put Antichrist at the end of the world. Don't say he's been here all along, like John did in Scripture. The Antichrist is, what was it, 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John? I can't remember which one of it was, where he said that Antichrists are here now. And so they had to put it at the end of the world to make people think, oh, that Inquisition was not really a big deal. The real Antichrist shows up and it really gets crazy and all this other stuff. So, yeah, that was just a boo-boo that the Catholic Church made. And that's just why he even prophesied and said that they're going to apologize. Well, John Paul II did, in fact, do that with his mea culpa. And then Jesuit pro-homosexual Francis just did it recently, about a year ago, apologized again for what they did in the Inquisition. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the Inquisition happened. But to their best of their ability, they're trying to take away from the fact that Christ prophesied about it in Matthew 24, about how the Catholic Church is going to go and kill hundreds of millions of people. And so if they can cover that up, then that'll make it that much easier for them to preach a false prophecy. Because Satan was definitely behind that one, because I don't know a man on the planet, I don't care if he's a Jesuit with Mensa as his main hangout. I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to come up with that genius method of confusing the masses. I mean, just the politics behind it alone is shocking right there. But yeah, they're not going to be ready for it. As in fact, and I've been asking the people that believe in the secret rapture and the seven-year trib thing for, I actually have a page on the website about the seven-year trib, proving how they twisted it out of Daniel. But the thing is, I always ask him, this is, how is it that you keep thinking in the secret rapture when there was certain prophetic events that your pastor, who's now dead, because a lot of these guys have already gone to their graves, so they don't have to explain themselves, but they, you know, they still believe in them, and they uplift them as if they're gods on earth or something. I says, but they stated certain things are going to happen during the seven-year tribulation. Then, like, three or four of those things have already happened. You're still here. But it goes in one ear and out the other, because truth isn't the foundation they stand on. And so that's where our job comes in. We have to go forth and proclaim what, you know, especially during a loud cry. We should be doing it now. See, this is why some of us have been doing it for as long as we have been doing it. The Lord's just testing to see if he's going to be able to use us. So anyway, she goes on to say that Paul teaches that it would be sinful to be indifferent to the signs which should precede the second coming of Christ. Those who should be guilty of this neglect, he calls children of the night and of darkness. And that's fitting because of what I just read in 1 Thessalonians, right? He encourages the vigilant and watchful with these words. Well, I should have just read on. That happens to me a lot. Have you ever noticed that? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You know, like the sleepy virgins, five of them are, you know, well, they're all sleeping, and then they get up, you know, but five of them are the only ones that had preparation. They had enough Holy Spirit, oil, if you prophecy, oil. So therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The teachings, she says, of the apostle upon this point are especially important to the church in our time. you could end it there. I mean, but anyway, she goes on, above all others, those who are living so near to the great consummation should be sober and watchful. This is the reason for the emails. This is the reason for the phone calls. In fact, the phone call tonight that we got from a sister in the faith. The Lord got her so excited that she had to talk to both of us. She usually just calls Fran, you know. But yeah, we got her on speakerphone, and it was, yeah, the Lord has made it absolutely crystal clear to hear her as well as many others. And how many of you, because we all know what the little guy said in the book of Job, you know, the last guy that had a chance to talk and slam Job, the young guy. He literally said, we all have dreams. That's how the Lord deals with us. As a matter of fact, that's how the Lord opened up his truth to me, and I literally, first time I ever felt his presence, I was all alone, so I wasn't in no Pentecostal, you know, church, if you will, but had to do with a dream the night before. And I asked him, does that dream mean this? And then I heard I didn't hear his voice that time yet, but it was a resounding yes, and that's when I collapsed and just was in tears, because I was like, I'm a dead man. And so, but, you know, he, of course, had other plans, praise his name. But yeah, the dreams of tornadoes. How many of you have been having dreams of tornadoes? And if you notice, and this is because, like, you can have dreams, it could be prophetic for your own family, but don't go overboard. If the dream is from on high, the symbols in the dream will match perfectly with that which is written. It's the only way you're going to define the dreams, all right? You have to go by that which is written, because the prophetic symbols in the Bible are going to match exactly with the dream, if it's from God. And if you want to know what those symbols mean, go to my prophecy study tools. It's in the prophecy section. Go down prophecy study tools. Go to the symbols of Revelation. This took a few years to get this done. Let's say you want to look up to see what oil means, click O. Or if you want to see what all the symbols in chapter 7 mean, click 7. But if you go to O for oil, hit oil. And if it's the first time it ever shows up, I give the definitions to the whole, you know, what the oil means here, and then I give the Bible verses for the proof. And a lot of times there'll be a lot more than just a few Bible verses, so I'll put an ETC at the end of it to let you know that, hey, do more research if you want. But not only do I give the verses that explain it, I underline in the verses where the definition is defined. You know, I do this for myself because I wanted to know, as well as our church family. And then, like, if you want to look up what pearl means, scripture, heaven, you know, salvation, gates of heaven. And but let me find one that's already been defined. Let's see, early on. And let's see, Moses. Nope. Okay, now the reason I'm doing this, I want to show you how this page works. Okay, there you go. Oh, look at that. I didn't put a space right here. You notice that? All right, but yeah, in chapter 2, verse 13, the word works means standard of judgment, fruits of their labor, Christian duty. And if you want the verses that back that up, you got to go to verse 2 of that same chapter, or it could be a completely different chapter. So that's, in other words, that's the first time the word works ever shows up in the Bible, and that's where I put all this, all the verses to back it up. Otherwise, this thing would be a massive page. The people that used to be part of our number that were printers printed it out for me with all the definitions, just like this, 327 pages. And so, yeah, it would be thousands of pages if I put the verses in every single time they came up. And so I would always go, see verses here, see verses there, you know, like that. So that's how it's easier. So if you want to know what the symbols mean, like even the color blue, a lot of people don't understand it. You know, let me go up a little further here. Just go to B. Hit, look for blue. It's going to be down here or up there. Oh, come on. It's got to be in here somewhere. Oh, that's right. Blue doesn't show up in... but blue is a color of obedience, okay? All of these symbols are from Revelation. There are symbols in the other books, like especially when you get into the sanctuary study where the blue shows up for the first time in regards to the ribbon. And the blue... I would say a purple might show up, though. Let's see if purple... There it is, yeah, purple. Royalty. And so then there's the verses to back it up. And it also means obedience unto death, because blue is obedience, red is death. Let me just see here. War, sin, death, whatever. And plus, Christ died for our sins. And so that's why they put the purple robe on him, because he was obedient unto death. And then the people that die... And there's a lot of prophetic symbols where it shows them with the colors, for the reason for the colors in your dreams or even in the scriptures. And so, yeah, I figured I'd throw that out there because, and I don't translate the dreams anymore because, unless, of course, the Holy Spirit moves me to do so, but please don't send me your dreams and ask me to translate them. I used to do that years ago, and sometimes it was really bad news. You know, like the baker and the cupbearer. I don't mind telling you about the cupbearer, but I don't want to be telling you about the baker, okay, where he had to get his head lopped off. And so there's a lot of times people will send me their dreams, and I'm going, oh, this person's in a heap of trouble. But, hopefully there's a repentance in the area, because I've had to do that a few times and tell people what the Lord was trying to tell them. And here's something else you might want to take into consideration. Here it is. Let me go back. Sorry if you're going off track a little bit, but this is just the way the Spirit moves us sometimes when we're are doing our studies. Garments. Let's just go to garment. salvation and righteousness. Your clothing, or the garment you wear, in prophecy means your walk. That's why some of you, myself included, over the years, walking around in your underpants. Okay? You're not, your walk isn't where it should be. So the Lord's telling you, if you have a dream of tornadoes, the Lord's warning you, the plagues are coming soon. But have you ever noticed this, when you have these dreams of the tornadoes, that you're out there trying to warn your loved ones and they're ignoring you, like, yeah, what are you? They don't see any danger at all. You are trying to tell those people that you love that the Lord is coming soon, and like in reality, they don't want to listen to it. That's why the dream goes that way, where you see the tornado coming, you're trying to warn your loved ones, they don't care. But have you ever noticed? The tornado never hits your house. You never get hit. You never get hurt. Why? What's that one verse? No plague will come nigh thy dwelling, because you are an obedient child of God. I've had some really strange ones. Sometimes it's like lucid, where it's like high definition, crazy graphic. And, you know, like one time with the tornado, it had like bits of sunlight in it. It was just like a burning ember coming at me, and then it just, you know, threatening my loved ones. And then, yeah, no one wanted to hear it, but never hit the house. So praise his name. So let's continue a little bit, because I don't think we got anywhere today. One page. So let's continue. We're going to go over a little bit, if that's okay with everybody. So anyway, she goes on to say that the watchful Christian is a working Christian, is seeking zealously to purify his life and to do all in his power for the cause of God. As his love for his Redeemer increases, so also does his love for his fellow creatures increase. He has severe trials, as did his master, and like him, he is to some extent a man of sorrows, mourning because of the abominations done in the land. Case in point, Lot. We go through it down here like Lot did. I mean, he just had to deal with what was going down in the city near him, but of course his wife was a little bit deeper into that garbage. And so when the angel pulled him out of the city, you know, we all know what happened there. But look at today's world. Ever since Obama, you know, in which there's evidence that the man is a homosexual. There's some pictures of him from Chicago before they did photoshopping. And but the thing is, it's just the norm today. And did you hear about what they're doing? I think it's in Norway. I was talking to Fran about it earlier, that they're passing a bill. It looks like it's going to pass. Hopefully it doesn't. That you can't, in Norway, you can't even speak in private about the LGBTQ community. Look, if they were so correct in their theology, why are they doing everything they can to stop people from talking about it? Their lifestyles. It's the same thing with the voting that went on, and, you know, all the fraud. If they have nothing to worry about, if they're really doing it legitimately, why are they telling the people that are supposed to be watching you voting to go, like in one place, over 1,000 feet away, because it was a massive indoor gymnasium, I guess, or something, I don't know. It's a massive building, or factory building, that they were doing the counting in. And so if they have nothing to hide, why is that? But yeah, they have to shut us up. It's kind of like when the loud cry goes forth and the churches start emptying, they're going to do everything they can to shut us up. Hence the reason for the 501c3, which, by the way, became law December 2nd, 2017. Trump made it absolute law. So now, every single Seventh-day Adventist pastor now has the ability to lobby for religious law, and they will do it. I mean, they've already got dozens and dozens and dozens of Sunday-keeping churches in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And for those of you that are new here and don't believe what I just said, go to Remnant of God, go to the link section, go down to SDA Apostasy, and then look for, this is a sister site that I made, because some SDA ministers attacked me many, many years ago when my website was only 5,000 pages and tried to get me thrown behind bars. All for this one page here, this Roman SDA page, because there's a bunch of statements where the Catholic Church says one thing, the SDA Church says the exact same thing. And so they wanted me to pull it. This is, that ain't happening. So let me just see. Sunday, I'm looking for Sunday keeping. I probably just scrolled right over SDA Church. No, Roman SDA Studies. It's got to be down here. I'm going to do an F3 to page. S-U-N. There it is. Okay, so Sunday keeping right here. One of these, or there's a couple of these that actually have lists of many SDA churches that are doing. Let me just see if I could find dozens right here, dozens of SDA churches. Yeah, look at them all. Right here. Look at them all. And they're associated with Willow Creek. If anybody knows what Willow Creek is, that's Bill Hybels back in the day when Clinton was in office and the Monica Lewinsky thing went down. He went over to talk to Hybels and they were saying, oh, he's over there because he's, you know, repenting or whatever. No. He was setting things up because, you know, that megachurch thing started back then. And praise God, one of my little sisters finally saw the light on it because I kept telling her, I said, you got to look out for these megachurches, especially that guy Hybels, because that was her pastor. And so she finally got out of there. But it's sick what's going on in the SDA church. So going on, but this grief does not. Well, let me backtrack. Okay, yes. So she's talking about those of us that go forth in the truth and stand firm in it, and don't back down. We have the courage. She says, but this grief does not sour his temper or our temper, nor destroy his peace of mind. His afflictions, if well borne, refine and purify his nature. He is thus brought into closer relation or fellowship with Christ, and inasmuch as he, through fierce opposition, is a partaker of the sufferings of Christ, he will also be a partaker of his consolation and finally a share of his glory. And let me scroll up. Paul continued his admonition to the church. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The Thessalonians, she says, were greatly annoyed by persons coming among them with fanatical ideas and doctrines. And we all thought it only happens to us. Oh, we're such proud critters. But going on, she says, the church had been properly organized and officers had been appointed to act as ministers and deacons. But some would not be subordinate to those who held authoritative positions in the church. Ardent, self-willed persons claimed not only the right of private judgment, but to be heard publicly in urging their views upon the church. Wow. You know, my way or the highway kind of people. We've had texts like that too from people that came in. Some actually became members. But then after a while, their true fruit came forward and they demanded, it has to be this way or we're leaving. We love you. You know, but we love Jesus more. So we really hope you come back. Because some of them left kind of good. They didn't. Some of them left extremely bad. We'll see you on the Crystal Sea. Because, yeah, like the old saying, you know, I'm not going to say the old saying on that. It's you just got to be careful with some people because they can try to work their way in, pulling on the heartstrings to interfere. And I mean, could you imagine being in on the run and somebody that you thought was part of your number drops the dime on you? And there you are behind bars all of a sudden. You're still not going to get killed because you're part of the Gideon band, but try to get a sandwich. But praise his name. Even manna will fall down in that in the jail cell. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of something I heard many years ago in regards to a jailer. I don't remember when it was or where it was. I just repeat this so many times, but I can't remember. I think I heard it from a Baptist minister when I was a Sunday keeper. I can't remember, but he was talking about how the Lord is going to protect us regardless of where we're at. And it was about this jailer that didn't care for this one Christian that was in jail. The guy was in jail for being a Christian, you know. So I'm thinking this had to have been a long time ago. And he says, let's see how well your God cares for you. And in other words, I'm the jailer. You ain't getting nothing to eat. But yet after a week or so, the guy didn't look worse for wear. I mean, he was fine. Looks like he had plenty of food to eat. The jailer never realized it, so obviously the Lord wiped it from his mind each time he brought his lunch to work with him, that the jailer's cat stole the sandwich and brought it to the Christian. Seriously. And if there's no cat around, the raven's going to come right through them bars like he did for, you know, another Christian a few thousand years ago. Yeah, they were Christians in the Old Testament too. So anyway, Paul therefore earnestly called the attention of his brethren to the respect and deference due to those who had authority in the church. Let me reread that. Paul therefore earnestly called the attention of his brethren to the respect and deference due those who had authority in the church and who had been entrusted with the responsibilities connected with it. And this is why it says what it says in 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 to 21. Against an elder, you know, you got to bring the two or three witnesses, just like against someone sitting on the pew. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, same thing. You know, but you don't go out and blurt it with the Matthew 18 thing. Now, it's kind of blurted, if you will, when you get to verse 17, because if they're going to deny you, and then they're going to deny the two or three witnesses, and then they deny the church family, because now everybody knows their sin, well, then that's kind of blurted, yeah. And so, but then you got to treat them like the heathen and the publican. And the heathen in biblical jurisprudence is pagan, right? Or Catholic, same thing. They're non-believer, period. Well, 1 Timothy is the same way. The only difference there is without partiality. In other words, no matter how much you love the person, you have to declare it publicly so that others may fear to do the same. Ephesians 5:11 is the same thing. And, you know, rebuke them openly. It's your duty. You got to do it. But, you know, like a brother or sister in a faith that's having an issue here, you don't know if they're trying hard. You got to approach them. But if it gets down to the, like if they are a legitimate church member, then you got to do the Matthew 18 thing. So anyway, she goes on to say that he cautions the Thessalonians not to despise the gift of prophecy and enjoins a careful discrimination in distinguishing the false manifestation from the true. And then he says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things. Now see, there's the key. A lot of these guys will go out there and they'll say these prophetic statements, so-called, but there's not a single Bible verse to back it up. They'll get on camera and they'll say these things and they'll put a Bible verse on screen and make it look like that Bible verse touched on it. It always reminds me. Mel and I were talking about this earlier on the phone when I came across a little booklet titled Steps to Christ that was not written by Ellen White. I was like 10 or 11 years old. Could have been 13, now that I think about it. Devout Catholic, little kid. And my mom had it, and I asked her if I can look at it, and she says, you can have it. I says, oh, wow, my first book. Well, actually, it was my second book. My dad gave me my Catechism, St. Joseph's General Edition, and I started to teach from that later as a Catholic. Not from that particular one. I did the church, the big book. But she gave me that little book, and it had, it was like a devotional. You just read all this stuff on each date, and then at the bottom of each page, there was anywhere from 30 to 40 Bible references. I've shared this before, many times. And one day I decided, I'm going to look up those Bible references. And this was many years later now that I remember. I forgot to mention this with Brother Mel. But many years later, when I had already left the Catholic Church, this is around the time that those Baptists were coming around saying, hey, you're a Catholic, you're going to hell. And that used to upset me because they always had a Bible in their hand. So that's when I started reading the Bible. And I kind of snapped back into that Steps to Christ book that my mom gave me when I was young. So I dug it out of the dresser or something. And I remember looking at the little things on the Bible. Those are Bible references because I think my mom told me they were because I really didn't know what they were. But I didn't. What's Mar? Well, that's Mark. What's Jah? You know, J-O-H? That's John. You know, so I didn't know even how to the abbreviations. But now, by this time, as a young man, yeah, I knew. Or an adult. I was in my 20s. And I read the page. This is one just to test this out. And then I read the Bible verses and not a single one touched on what was on the page. They put those there to make it look like, hey, look, I know what I'm talking about. Well, this is how they preach on YouTube now. They'll say something that's completely made up in their own mind or with twisted scripture, and then they'll put a Bible verse on the screen that has nothing to do with it, and a lot of people will follow them because they like the smooth things. They like the way he preaches, or they like the way he makes them feel like a Christian and how he's helping them get ready. You know, that kind of a thing. When in fact, he's just a wolf. Because if you look at the verses, they don't have anything to do with what he just said. But they don't read their Bibles. As a matter of fact, ask some of these people that follow these kind of leaders about certain prophetic, you know, theology, if you will, or even doctrinal theology. They won't be able to answer your question. They'll have to ask their pastor because they don't study their Bibles. So, going on, he prays. Okay, let me finish. I'll redo the verse here. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then she says, he prays that God will sanctify them wholly, that their whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he had the spirit of Elijah too. And in closing, adds the assurance, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, good, perfect place to stop. So next week we're going to pick it up in the first letter, if you will. I think it's page 116. I hope I got at least two pages done. Is it the 116? Almost last paragraph, so we'll just put it there, page 116. If you can kneel, we're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for blessing us with your presence and helping us through this, the writings of Sister White, wherein you prophesied through your prophet Joel, and even I think it's in Timothy or Luke somewhere in regards to, maybe it is Timothy, our daughter shall prophesy. I don't know if any other woman has done what she's done, and so, but we know it does not conflict with Scripture in any way, shape, or form. We thank you for these writings that help us to have a little better understanding of that which is written, kind of like what you did with the New Testament to, you know, explain the Old. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with all that we need to get ready. Thank you for the word to the little flock. Thank you for everything that we need to know in regards to these plagues that are coming soon, as well as the latter rain. And Father, this is what we pray for on a constant basis, some of us three times a day minimum. Please let us, help us to be ready, Father. We are all undone. We have a lot of problems, but you know our hearts. You know that we really love you and we really want to glorify you, even unto death. Death is no big deal now. We know if we die a split second later, as far as our mind's concerned, we're going to be ascending, because we don't remember anything in the grave. We don't know if we're in the grave a day or a week or even 10 years. We don't know. So thank you for blessing us with that kind of faith to not even fear death. And so please bless your son's bride, Father. And thank you again for blessing us on this Sabbath day. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our King, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And keep praying, brothers and sisters. It'll be so nice. We haven't had a camp meeting in a year because of all this falderall out there with this political theater. But it'll be nice if we were all gathered together, not just online, but gathered together, when that latter rain falls like it did on Pentecost for the apostles and everybody else that was in that upper room. Man, praise his mighty name. Amen and amen and amen.